Tonight, the breaking news as we come on the air, the horrific scene unfolding in Texas. The deadly mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, 14 children and a teacher killed. The awful images coming in from Robb Elementary School, about 80 miles from San Antonio. Late today, Governor Abbott confirming the staggering toll there. The alleged gunman also dead. The governor identifying the suspect as 18-year-old Salvador Ramos, a student at Uvalde High School. Authorities also believe he shot and killed his grandmother beforehand. Tonight, what we have just learned about the suspect and the heartbreaking scene now unfolding, the parents gathering late today, waiting for official word on their children. Maria Villarreal on the scene in Texas tonight, Aaron Kutursky, and what he's now learned about the suspect. This comes just 10 days after the mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, 9 days after the shooting at a church in California. Cecilia Vega with word coming in from the White House tonight. President Biden set to address the nation this evening. And Pierre Thomas on the concern from federal authorities tonight and the warning signs in these times. The other news this Tuesday night, primaries underway in 5 states. The Georgia race tonight, former President Trump supporting one candidate for governor. His former Vice President Mike Pence supporting the other Republican candidate. Where this race stands at this hour and what this says beyond this race. We're also tracking the monkeypox outbreak here in the U.S. At least 8 confirmed or suspected cases across 6 states now. The CDC releasing some of the vaccine from the national stockpile. Who this is meant for and what authorities are now saying tonight. The war in Ukraine, the brutal push by Russia in the east, and the gruesome discovery tonight in Mariupol. Ian Pannell in Ukraine. In New York City tonight, the deadly attack on the subway, that Goldman Sachs worker killed at random. Tonight, the suspect now in custody and what's now been revealed. And the Robin Roberts exclusive tonight with the wife of WNBA star Brittany Griner, breaking her silence, the message she's sending tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening and thank you for joining us on yet another difficult night in this country. A mass shooting, this time at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. Governor Greg Abbott late today confirming 14 children were killed, one teacher killed as well. The governor identifying the gunman as an 18-year-old student at the high school there, Salvador Ramos. And the governor said he shot and killed his grandmother before he went to that school. Inside the elementary school, authorities say second, third, and fourth graders in the middle of their school day when the first call came in around 11:32 in the morning in Uvalde, a rural community about 85 miles west of San Antonio. A witness telling me on the air this afternoon that he saw the children who survived this running from the school. A massive law enforcement response to reports of an active shooter, the school put on lockdown, police, the sheriff's department, the FBI, and Border Patrol all rushing to the scene. And desperate parents arriving at the scene, too, searching for answers on their children. Our reporter at the scene describing to me the father who approached her, saying he could not find his child. Many of the students taken to the Civic Center to be reunited with their parents, but that's also where some of the parents were given the horrific news. President Biden flying home from his trip to Asia, ordering flags lowered to half-staff. He will address the nation tonight. It was just 10 days ago he ordered flags lowered after the mass shootings in Buffalo, New York. Tonight, the heartbreak, the anguish in this small, tight-knit community, and what we've also just learned about the suspect. And federal authorities tonight and what they're so concerned about in these times, the warning signs for communities across this country. We begin tonight with ABC's Maria Villarreal on the scene in Uvalde, Texas.
Multiple federal, state, and local law enforcement swarming Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, a school for second, third, and fourth graders at 11:32 local time.
To respond to South Grove and Mill Street to establish a perimeter.
FBI, ATF, and Border Patrol racing to the scene. The school with some 600 students locked down. Students reportedly crawling through windows to escape. Parents desperate for any information.
How long have you been looking for her today?
Since it happened.
What are you worried about right now?
She may not be alive.
Governor Greg Abbott reporting the lone suspect, identified as Salvador Ramos, was a member of the community, a student at Uvalde High School.
An 18-year-old male who resided in Uvalde. It's believed that he abandoned his vehicle and entered into the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde with a handgun. He shot and killed horrifically, incomprehensibly, 14 students and killed a teacher. Mr. Romas, the shooter, he himself is deceased and is believed that responding officers killed him.
A 66-year-old woman reportedly in critical condition. Two responding officers were also shot but are expected to survive.
In addition to that, it is being reported that the subject shot his grandmother right before he went into the school.
Uvalde, a tight-knit community of about 14,000 people, in a state of shock. The school's last day was set to be this Thursday.
And Maria Villarreal joins us tonight from Uvalde, Texas. And Maria, you and I were on the air this afternoon when you told us about the father who had just approached you, asking you if you knew anything. And this, I really think, told the story of all of these parents in this community, this time Uvalde, Texas, arriving at the scene just searching for anything they could find out about their own children.
David, it was an absolutely heartbreaking situation. Not just him, but he was with his brother. They asked me if I knew where the funeral home was. But he wasn't the only one. There were several parents, grandfathers, aunts, uncles that were running down the streets here near this elementary school looking for their children, trying to find out. What we do know right now is that the children that are missing that they were looking for, roughly all around the age of 10. Behind me, there is a mobile command center that has been set up by the Texas Rangers. It was brought in specifically because this is a large crime scene, a large incident that just cannot be handled by local law enforcement. We have a lot of Border Patrol on site, Texas, DPS, people coming in all the way from San Antonio to help in this investigation. But absolutely right now, a very heartbreaking situation. As we just saw a few minutes ago, a family sitting on the curb just about 30 feet from me, waiting for information on their loved one, on their 10-year-old loved one. We're going to continue to follow this out here, David, as it continues to develop throughout the night.
And one more question for you, Maria. I know you're a mother yourself. Very difficult to respond to the scene of one of these stories yet again in this country. Before authorities identify any of these children, we're going to leave that obviously up to them because they have the painful task of talking to all of these families. You also mentioned that many of these parents told you that they were looking for their 10-year-olds.
So when we first pulled up, we spoke with an aunt. She told us that the missing child in their family was 10 years old. The father that I spoke with also told us a 10-year-old. And then when I spoke with a grandfather here just a few minutes ago, he said that also his granddaughter was 10 years old. They're all talking to each other right now on text message in a group chat and also on a closed private Facebook page. This is the only way they can get answers and share them with each other because the school district right now is staying very close-lipped on the information and the investigation.
All right. Maria Villarreal leading us off tonight from Uvalde, Texas. Maria, thank you. We're learning more at this hour about the 18-year-old who authorities say went into this school and did this. Let's bring in our senior investigative reporter, Aaron Katursky, who first reported for us this afternoon that this was actually a student at the high school there, and this student had actually shot and killed his own grandmother before he went to the school.
Someone of the community, David, a student, either current or former, at Uvalde High School, 18-year-old Salvador Ramos, killed his grandmother, according to the authorities, and then turned the gun on those elementary school students, preliminarily third and fourth graders that were killed, the 14 students. And at this point, police believe he acted alone, but they're now scouring social media accounts that have been linked to the suspect, and they're finding images of guns and other violent content. David, authorities are also now tracing a long gun believed to have been used in the shooting. The governor mentioned a handgun as well. Still many questions, but right now they believe he did act alone.
Gosh, when you hear about them scouring social media, it gives you echoes of the mass shooting we were covering together just, you know, 10 days ago, and whether or not there were any warning signs for this community. Aaron, thank you. I want to turn to the White House now because we have learned that the president has asked flags to be lowered to half staff. The president returning from his trip from Asia on Air Force One, and he's expected to address the nation tonight. Let's bring in our chief White House correspondent, Cecilia Vega. She's live at the White House tonight. Cecilia.
David, at 8:15 Eastern, that is when the president is going to address the nation. Those flags you mentioned, they are lowered right here behind me here at the White House. The president spoke to the nation after that horrific shooting in Buffalo. And in that speech, he said that he was not naive. He, in fact, predicted that tragedy would happen once again. And here we are. This is happening, unfortunately, so much sooner than any of us could have ever imagined. The White House says that the president's prayers, of course, are with the families impacted by this awful event. But we are talking about the president addressing a mass shooting in just 1 week's time. He's had to do this twice now, and for more times, David, than any of us certainly could have ever been able to count. This administration, lawmakers in this city facing this question right now, when will enough be enough? We are 10 years after that massacre at Sandy Hook. David, Capitol Hill still remains stalled when it comes to gun control.
Cecilia Vega live at the White House for us tonight. Cecilia, we'll see you a bit later when the president addresses the nation. In the meantime, as you heard Cecilia mention, you know, this shooting in Texas comes just 10 days after that teenage gunman allegedly opened fire at a Buffalo supermarket, killing 10 people. After that, of course, the shooting in California at that church just a day later. Let's bring in our Chief Justice Correspondent, Pierre Thomas, tonight, because, Pierre, I know your sources in federal law enforcement are very concerned. We already had a problem of mass shootings in this country. Now we're well more than 2 years into this pandemic. These are extraordinarily trying and heavy times in this country. They're worried about more of this.
That's right, David. They're concerned about copycats. In fact, David, that was a big concern after Buffalo and now this. And, David, we're in the midst of a surge, both in terms of active shooter incidents and mass shootings. It all began during the pandemic. In 2019, there were 417 mass shootings. Last year, that number jumped to 693. That's an incredible spike. And authorities long worried about extremists, white supremacists, supporters of ISIS. And they're also worried about a crisis of mental health that some believe has been made worse by the pandemic, David.
All right, Pierre Thomas, our thanks to you, to Aaron Katursky, and to Maria Villarreal. All of us, our thoughts are with the families in this community, and we'll be back on the air with the president later tonight. In the meantime, we turn to the other news this Tuesday evening in the high-stakes primary elections in five states today. Voters turning out in Georgia for several key races. Incumbent Republican Governor Brian Kemp, endorsed by former Vice President Mike Pence, facing off against former Senator David Perdue, who was endorsed by former President Trump. ABC's Steve Osunsami in Atlanta tonight.
In Georgia tonight, voters aren't just choosing who will lead them into November's general election. Whether they mean to or not, they're also determining how much vengeance Donald Trump will win here. No other Republican candidate in America has seen more rage from Donald Trump.
And let's bring this home.
Than this man, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. The former president is still mad that Kemp refused to get in the way of the 2020 presidential election results that gave Joe Biden a victory here.
Brian Kemp is a turncoat, he's a coward.
For governor, the former president campaigned hard for former Senator David Perdue, helping to give his campaign nearly $2.5 million, more than any other candidate this election season.
We have a governor that's done the worst job of any governor in probably decades on election integrity.
But on the night before the election, Trump's former vice president was in Georgia picking sides, and it wasn't his former bosses.
And when you say yes to Governor Brian Kemp tomorrow, you will send a deafening message all across America that the Republican Party is the party of the future.
North of Atlanta, Republican voters siding with the governor say they care less about the 2020 election and more about gas prices and money in their pocket, which Governor Kemp gave them with a recent tax refund.
What do you think about the former president's push for Perdue?
Well, I mean, that makes a difference for some people, but with me, it didn't make a difference for me. I just thought Kemp did an excellent job on doing what he did.
To many voters, David Perdue did a lot more talking about Donald Trump and the election than he did anything else. Tonight, we'll see if that was enough.
The turnout was high. The early vote alone was more than 850,000 votes in this primary, which is more than the primaries of 2018 and 2020. Republicans tonight are liking to say that this is proof that their new election laws didn't really stop anyone from voting. Democrats are saying that this is proof that those same election laws motivated their voters to overcome. David.
Steve Osunsami following the primary races and in particular the key race there in Georgia. Steve, thank you. To the health concern tonight, and there is news on monkeypox this evening across the country. 8 people now in 6 states confirmed or presumed to have the virus. Contact tracers are now monitoring hundreds of others. And for some of those exposed, the CDC has now begun to release doses of vaccine from the national stockpile. Here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos now.
Tonight, the CDC is trying to reassure Americans that the growing monkeypox outbreak is not like COVID-19.
just want to emphasize that monkeypox does not have the potential to be a pandemic.
It comes as an infected patient was discharged today from a Boston hospital. Officials are now monitoring 200 people who came in contact with him, most of them healthcare workers. And the government is releasing vaccine from the national stockpile that can help prevent illness in anyone who was exposed.
This is not a very contagious disease. This is not like COVID. You actually have to have pretty close and prolonged contact.
So far, 8 cases are under investigation across 6 states. The global monkeypox outbreak now reaching 22 countries where the virus is not typically found.
What's unusual in this case is there has never been an outbreak of this size outside of Africa.
And the U.S. has seen a monkeypox outbreak before. Back in 2003, imported animals likely infected 47 people. One of them, Dr. Kurt Zeisk, a veterinarian who recovered quickly after contracting monkeypox from a prairie dog.
The clinical symptoms that I had were very similar to flu. Achy, run down, very tired, feverish. I also had a non-healing blister on my thumb that actually turned black and was becoming considerably uncomfortable.
David, as for this current outbreak, a senior White House official says there is no evidence this virus has mutated. In fact, there are 2 strains of the monkeypox virus, and it appears this one is the less deadly strain. David.
That is reassuring, Stephanie. Thank you. We're going to turn now to Ukraine tonight, the brutal assault by Russia in the east. And tonight, the gruesome discovery now in a basement in the devastated city of Mariupol. ABC senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell in Ukraine again tonight for us.
Tonight, 200 bodies reportedly discovered under the rubble of an apartment building in Mariupol. An advisor to the mayor confirming what could be one of the deadliest attacks on the city, though it's unclear when it happened. Meanwhile, intense battles raging tonight in the Donbass region of eastern Ukraine. This video, filmed by a Ukrainian military chaplain, shows the shelling of Liman. Tonight, Russian troops reportedly advancing into the town. President Zelensky saying the Russians have unleashed a bloodbath, trying to destroy everything. The costs and casualties of this war are painful. We visited a hospital treating soldiers and civilians alike. One trooper had just lost his leg when a mine exploded. A young woman with brain trauma after a shell landed in Liman.
This is an increasingly difficult situation here for soldiers and civilian alike. The kind of ordnance that the Russians are throwing into the area means catastrophic injuries. They're trying to stabilize them here and then move them on to bigger hospitals in safer locations.
Alexei Yakovlenko is the head of the hospital here. He says, every morning I see tears in the eyes of my doctors. I can't speak for the lump in my throat. He struggles to watch all the wounded, but especially the children.
David, we've seen growing signs that the Ukrainians are having real problems here, withdrawing from some villages but being forced out of others. That's why they're so desperate for more powerful American-made weapons systems as soon as possible. David?
Ian Pannell in Ukraine for us tonight. Ian, thank you. And this evening, back here in the U.S., an alleged ISIS operative living in Columbus, Ohio, is now under arrest, accused of a plot to assassinate former President George W. Bush with other ISIS agents he hoped to smuggle into the country through Mexico, according to authorities. The indictment claims that Shihab Ahmed Shihab, an Iraqi citizen, told a federal informant his team, quote, wished to kill former President Bush. Prosecutors say the suspect traveled to Texas to scope out the former president's home. Shihab is being held without bond. And here in New York City tonight, an arrest in what authorities say was that unprovoked killing on the subway on Sunday. 25-year-old Andrew Abdullah turned himself in and was taken into custody hours after police posted his name and photo on social media asking for the public's help. He has 20 prior arrests. Abdullah is accused of shooting Daniel Enriquez, a Goldman Sachs employee who was on his way to Sunday brunch on that Manhattan-bound train. When we come back here tonight, news coming in from North Korea, the latest provocation we are just learning about. And the Robin Roberts exclusive tonight, her interview with the wife of WNBA star Brittany Griner. Her message tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
We're tracking developments coming in involving North Korea tonight. South Korea reporting that North Korea has conducted at least three ballistic missile tests as President Biden now flies home from his first trip to Asia. The missiles reportedly all fired within 45 minutes of each other. This comes after President Biden wrapped his trip to South Korea and Japan. This would be North Korea's 17th test launch this year. Tonight, the wife of WNBA star Brittany Griner is breaking her silence with our Robin Roberts. Sherelle Griner speaking with Robin. Brittany Griner was detained in Russia for allegedly trying to bring hashish oil into the country. Following the release of former Marine Trevor Reed, Griner's wife telling Robin, she wants Brittany to know she has not been forgotten.
Has it been comforting to see all the WNBA courts with BG42, the logo on all the courts?
Yes, but I think more specifically, it comforts BG. Things like that matter. Like, it has her hopeful. It lets her know she's not forgotten. Mm. And, like, obviously, you know, when you're sitting over there in your country, they haven't come to your rescue yet. I know that it makes her feel good. And those small moments, like, I know, give her some type of hope. You know.
Much more of Robin's moving interview with Sherelle Griner tomorrow morning, right here on Good Morning America. Well, tonight, just a short time from now, President Biden will address the nation after the deadly mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. And this image just coming in tonight, the president on Air Force One, speaking a short time ago with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Images of the children today being evacuated from the school, taken to the Civic Center to be reunited with their families. Outside, we noticed this board with the names written on it, helping parents to find classrooms, children with their teachers where they were gathered. The families huddled together waiting for word on their loved ones at the Civic Center. The families consoling one another. I'm David Muir. I'll see you later this evening. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.